Well, it was. 50 days after the Jewish feast of Passover, which Jesus had been crucified, he promised that on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit would fall. And he did. And what phenomenal things happened. 3,000 people were saved. Isn't that amazing? You can say hallelujah if you like. 3,000 people saved. Although we can't have another Pentecost historically, experientially, we can. It's Pentecost today. What happened then can happen now. Why? Because Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Do you know you prayed for Nepal? Thank you for that. We've got friends, close friends working there. They're actually missionaries in Nepal. And they're actually helping to administer and to share all the aid that's gone there. So thank you for those prayers for Nepal. Over the last 20 years, the Church of Nepal has doubled in the number of Christians year on year. What do you say to that? I mean, just think about that. Think of your church now, doubling in the next year. And next year, doubling on that. I mean, the place wouldn't be big enough, would it? But that's what's happening in Nepal. The church is doubling in numbers year on year. And you know, and that in a land where evangelism is not allowed. You're not allowed to share your faith in Nepal. I was almost arrested for actually, someone asked me to lead them to the Lord on a bus in Nepal. And a missionary, I was really getting excited because I'm an evangelist. I like leading people to the Lord. And a seasoned missionary put his hand on my shoulder. He said, you've gone far enough. If you go any further, you'll be arrested on this bus. And yet in that land, where it's not allowed, the church is doubling in size. Praise God. I mean, it can be Pentecost today. During last summer, right across South Wales, there's been a movement of God healing. I believe God wants to heal here today. And some of you might say, well, I'm an old person. I've got to live with it. It's part of being old. I don't believe that. I believe that God wants to renew the youth of some old people here today. Aging is natural, but our God is supernatural. He can reverse the process. And he can cause us to live for much longer than naturally we could ever do. I believe there's someone here today that's saying, well, I believe it for someone else. I don't think God wants to touch me today. Pentecost. It's Pentecost. Today. What phenomenal things happen on the day of Pentecost. I believe the Lord is sheer. His Spirit is with us. He wants to surprise us. I wonder, is there anyone here today that's actually willing to reach out to him and say, Lord, I believe. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. I want to receive all that you've got for me today. Well, let's read from Acts chapter 2 and see what actually happened. It's headed up, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language, in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some have made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. Now you know the phenomenal things happened there. 3,000 saved. In the next chapter, we read of someone being healed. The next chapter, Acts chapter 4, we read of someone who had property, was moved by the Holy Spirit to actually sell it and to give the proceeds to those that were in need. That's another miracle. It's phenomenal for a human being who's got property to sell it and give the proceeds away, isn't it? I mean, this was a period of miracles. But what was it about those Christians on that day that marked them out from the others? There's one phrase. There it is. Read it with me. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's our theme this morning. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. My purpose this morning is simple. To explain about that experience and to answer the question, how can that be my experience today? To avoid misunderstanding, let it be said clearly that to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. You got that? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are filled with Jesus. And let it be clear, it's God's plan, purpose, and provision for every one of us this morning to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not just for some spiritual elite, some people who are specially called. You're specially called as a Christian, and you're specially to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? And so I feel compelled this morning to ask a simple question. Are you today, now, at this moment, filled with the Holy Spirit? You may ask, why is it so important that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? I want to answer the question in the rest of the message. Why is it important? Because to be filled with the Holy Spirit is a powerful experience. And God wants you to be a powerful Christian. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when Jesus was ascending, just before he went, he said to them, in Acts 1, verse 8, you, that's you, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, you will know that that word power, in the language in which the New Testament was written, Greek, is the word dunamis, and it's the word dynamite. Now, I knew that as a very young boy. I was taken by my father in the early 1950s to the Wood Street Congregational Church. It's no longer there anymore, but you know where Wood Street is? By the bus station. It was the biggest nonconformist church in the capital. And during the 1930s, their pastor was a guy called Lionel Fletcher. And he was, in the 30s, the most effective evangelist around the world. He's an Australian. He was an Australian. He died in the late 50s. But he was as effective as Billy Graham was in the 50s and the 60s. Lionel Fletcher came back to Wood Street, and my dad took me to hear him preach. And he was saying that he preached the gospel wherever he went. And one day, he went into the outback to actually speak to some very rough quarrymen. He wanted them to hear the gospel, and there was a crowd there. So he asked if there was a box there for him to stand on. And one of the quarrymen thought it was a joke. He brought a box, and on the side it written, dynamite. And he stood, a quarryman brought a dynamite box. And Lionel Fletcher told this story in Wood Street. He said, what we need is more dynamite in the pulpit. He said, what's more, we need more dynamite in the pews. There's plenty of powerful preachers about it, but we need powerful Christians everywhere. And you know that verse promises that you will receive dynamite when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why do we need dynamite? Well, we're natural. And therefore, we're singers by nature and by inclination and practice, all of us, including the preacher. And we need something supernatural to change us. We need power just to live for the Lord, to be effective Christians, to be holy, to be happy, to be joyous, to be victorious. Some of the children didn't look very happy going out this morning. Others did. In fact, someone said, smile. Because he looked unhappy. Well, it's natural. We all get like that sometimes, don't we? Actually, we need something supernatural to put a smile on our face, to give us joy in our heart. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. The context of Ephesians 5:18, which is be filled, be being filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll come back to that later this morning, is actually about relationships. It's about fathers and mothers not being rough. To be Christian parents, don't enrage your children by not being good parents. And it's to children about being obedient children. It's about a word to masters and their employees, slaves, actually, in the context. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to actually live a godly life in an ungodly world. That's why we're natural. And if we're going to mark ourselves out as being different from the rest of humanity, we need power just to live for the Lord. Do you know what I'm talking about? We're to be radically different from our neighbors. The trouble is, most Christians are not. And we need power to help us be different, to live for the Lord. But also we need power to speak for the Lord, to witness. That's what the verse says in particular. You'll receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Those who are going to, by life and by lip, are going to be able to share the good news. Many of us miss too many opportunities to share the good news. You know, whenever I travel on public transport, I always take my little Bible with me. And I was traveling I'd been up to London for a Baptist Union meeting. And I was traveling back, and I had my little black Bible that I carry everywhere. I put it on the table in front of me. And you know, that usually invokes a conversation at some time between London, Cardiff, or wherever I'm going. And on this occasion, it was a very important trade union official. And when he saw it, he said, you believe that? And I said, I do, cover to cover. And he said, well, you know, I used to. I said, tell me. And he was a backslidden. He used to be a Methodist lay preacher. But the church disappointed him. And as we got towards Didcot, just south of Oxford, halfway on the journey, he said to me, I've got to get off here. I'm addressing a meeting here tonight, trade union meeting. He said, I wish that I had time to talk to you some more about this. And you'd never believe it. You know what happened? The train stopped on the tracks. And there was a notice. Very sorry, there's emergency work on the line. We're going to be stuck here for about an hour. I had a captive audience for an hour. I want to tell you, it was a God appointment. That youngish man, middle-aged, young by my standards, he recommitted his life to the Lord on that train. I want to tell you, God will provide you opportunities to witness to non-Christians and to backslidden Christians if you will believe and make yourself available. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we're aware of the opportunities as and when God wants to. We need power to live for the Lord. We need power to speak for the Lord. And God will give you the opportunities if you will make yourself available. Do you believe it? But we need power to pray, you know. Oh, I tell you, I believe that praying is the most difficult task of all. I've been a pastor this year for 50 years. Hallelujah for God's grace. And I want to tell you, I've seen some phenomenal things in the churches where I was the minister. But you know, the hardest thing that I found over 50 years was to get the church to pray. Honestly. And you know why it's hard to pray? Because the devil doesn't want us to pray. And he'll stop us at every opportunity. We used to have a cat. He's in cat heaven now. His name was Claude. Claude, you know, was a big ginger cat. But he was a hunter. And he used to just go out and he would catch anything. He wasn't hungry. Trish always feeds our animals well. But Claude would go out hunting. And whether it was a bird or whether it was a mouse, he would just do one thing. He'd get it by the throat and stop it breathing. And then he'd bring it in his mouth, intact apart from the fact he couldn't breathe, and bring it home as a trophy to the French doors, just to show us what he'd caught for us. The devil is like our Claude was, but he still is, a roaring lion. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to cut off the airline between you and God. If the devil can stop you praying, he will, because he knows that that's the lifeline. I want to tell you, I was moved by Victoria leading. I just wish that we'd come a bit earlier this morning to be in the whole of that prayer time, because I think that you are tapping in to something that God is wanting to do. He's wanting the church to pray more and to expect to see answers to prayer. Now, since last summer, right across South Wales, we're in a season of healing. And we've seen on our travels some amazing things as we've traveled around South Wales, people being healed. And I believe that if you ask and you believe, you will receive. Whether you're a young person or an older person, God is able to do what the NHS cannot do. Thank God for the NHS. Thank God for our wonderful hospitals. Thank God for nurses and care assistants. Hallelujah. They're a gift of God in His common grace. But there are some things that they cannot do. But our God is the great physician. And we need power. We need power to live, to speak, to pray, that we might see the phenomenal. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is a powerful experience. And I want to encourage you this morning to make sure that before you leave the chapel this morning, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that simple enough? Now let's move on. Not only is it a powerful experience, it is a personal experience. Notice in our text, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of them were filled? Was it just Peter? Peter was the preacher on that day. No, Peter and John were filled. We'll read, if you were to look at Acts chapter 3, you'll see that they were filled again, and they saw a miracle, a healing of a lame man. But in Acts chapter 7, we see that Stephen being filled with the Holy Spirit, specifically we're told, and what did he do? He died as a martyr. But not before it had a powerful impact on Saul of Tarsus to go on to be one of the greatest apostles. We read of Philip in Acts chapter 8 being filled with the Holy Spirit. He brought revival to Samaria. In Acts chapter 9, we read of Saul of Tarsus being converted on the road to Damascus. And then, through the hands of Ananias, but by the grace of God, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that led to him being an evangelist to the whole of Europe. In Acts chapter 10, the next chapter, we read of Cornelius being filled. He was the first full-blooded Gentile being converted. But he and all of his household were filled. You see, why are we told that all of these men and women were filled? Because God wants us to grasp that whoever we are, whatever part of the world we're from, God wants to fill you and me with His Holy Spirit. Are you excluded from that? No. In the purposes of God, you're included. He wants you to have this personal experience. And a careful examination of the Acts of the Apostles makes it plain that there are three steps into the personal experience. Now, whenever I prepare a sermon, I always hear an old lady. Her name was Susie Adams, now in the glory. When I was a younger minister, I'd been her minister for about a month, and she said to me, "Pastor John, I like your sermons, but you're not answering the question how. Pastor, tell us how," she said. And you know, ever since then, I've always, when I've been preparing a message, ensured that in the message I answer the how question. How can I personally be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, three steps. First of all, you're going to be empty. If you want to be filled, first of all, there's going to be emptiness. Now, they kindly left me a glass of gin here this morning. I mean, any gin drinkers, that looks like gin, doesn't it? But I want water. So if I want to be this to be filled, what must you do with this gin, first of all? You've got to take it to a safe place and pour it all away. It's got to be emptied, because I want water. It is water, really. I mean, you know that, don't you? It is water. But if it was gin, or if it was anything else, vodka looks like that, I'm told, it's got to be emptied before it can be filled with water. And sometimes we have to be emptied of things that fill and clutter our lives so that the Holy Spirit might come and fill us. Now, don't misunderstand me. The Holy Spirit is not a liquid, but a person that's co-equal with the Father and the Son. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Self must be executed and sin exposed if the Holy Spirit is to fill our lives. So, are you willing to be emptied of the clutter that's in your life that you might be filled personally with the Holy Spirit? But not only must you get rid of some things that's in your life that shouldn't be, but there's got to be a yieldedness. Now, I mentioned about Barnabas earlier. In Acts 4, verse 32, we read this. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any one of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything that they had. Barnabas came and yielded what he had. Not only emptied his life of those things that he knew were wrong, but he had some things that he didn't need. And he was prepared, a great generous act, to actually sell this property and to share it out. Those New Testament believers not only rid themselves of those things which would hinder the work of God, but they positively handed over to the Lord all that was to be used by him. In Acts 5, verse 32, we read that the Holy Spirit is given to those that obey him. If you want to grow as a Christian, and if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to be obedient in all things. Notice what I'm saying. Obedience is the most important characteristic of the Christian life. As we obey him, we grow. As we disobey, our lives are being restricted. I saw a television, it was a while ago now, a young man. Sometimes you see a surgery on television. I rather like watching it. I could never be a surgeon, not clever enough. But here was a young man who suffered with a pericardium that was too thick. Now, what's a pericardium? Around your heart, there is a covering of tissue. And it's normally paper thin. But this young man's life was being restricted because his pericardium was something like a quarter of an inch thick. And what the surgeon was doing in this operation that was on the television was cutting through this too thick pericardium, this cover on the heart. And as he sliced through it, the heart popped out and started beating normally. His living had been restricted because the pericardium was too thick and it was restricting his heart functioning properly. And sometimes there are in our lives the equivalent to a too thick pericardium restricting our lives. Sin cuts down on our spiritual functioning. That's making us spiritually sick. We need to let the Lord remove the sin that restricts us functioning on a 100% basis for him. I want to ask you this morning another question. I'm full of them, aren't I? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Has he got 100% control over your life? Have you got rid of the things that you need to, the things that are stopping you from being filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you yielded to him those things that are not necessary in your life so that he might take central place? We've seen Jesus be the center. We've sung about handing everything over to him. How slow we are. So there's got to be emptiness, there's got to be a yieldedness, but then again, there's got to be prayerfulness. We come back to this. In Acts 4, verse 31, they had another revival. And we read this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice, they were all filled again. Days later, the Holy Spirit came again, and they were filled again. But what's the key phrase? After they prayed, the place was shaken. They prayed again. They weren't content with what happened 2 days ago. They wanted it again. And that leads us to the last thing I want to say before we come to the table. Not only is being filled with the Holy Spirit a powerful experience, power to help us live and to speak and to pray powerfully for other people, it's a personal experience. It's for you. It's also a present experience. We come back to Ephesians 5, verse 18. And there are two imperatives, two commands in Ephesians 5, verse 18. I'll give you the first one, and if you agree with it, say amen. Join me in this. Do not be drunk with wine. It leads to excess. Oh. You may wish it's gin. Don't be drunk. It leads to debauchery. Once upon a time, Baptists were temperance people. They would all say, amen, amen. That's the first imperative. Don't get drunk with wine or booze. But be filled with the Spirit. A contrast is being made. You see, you can drink alcoholic spirits and beverages, and you can lose control. Ever been there? Or you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can hand control over to him. And you can trust him. You can trust him that if you give control to him. But it's a present experience. I was first filled with the Holy Spirit in this kind of way when I was a young pastor in 1969. But I couldn't live on what happened to me in 1969. I prayed this morning before I came out. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me now. Fill me, Jesus, with your blessed holy power. I'm thine, O Lord, to do with as you will. So fill me, Jesus, right? Every Sunday, every time I go to speak, I was speaking all day yesterday. It was my constant prayer. Fill me, Jesus, now. Because you may be filled today. You may be filled this morning. But you will leak. We turn our eyes away from Jesus. And the things of this world get us again. And so we constantly need to be coming back. My parents used to live out in Calvary's Cross. And when we used to visit them, there was a man who always used to, he knew I was a minister. And he was always looking for me. As soon as I parked my car, he'd be across. He said, can I tell you when I was filled with the Holy Spirit? And he was talking about the 1950s when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was a wonderful experience. And I used to say to him, that's wonderful. But are you filled now? Oh, it was enough to be filled then, he said. No matter how wonderful the experiences of the past. You see, Ephesians 5:18 is in the present continuous tense, which means be being filled. Now, I'm through. Do you know the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, there's no need to worry or to doubt. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you will know, because it's a powerful experience. It makes a difference to the way you live, to the way you speak, to the way you pray. It's personal. You'll know about it. And if you are not consciously filled with the Holy Spirit, then before we leave this morning, ask for prayer. You need to be filled this morning, because you can be. It's God's plan and purpose and provision for you to be filled. Make it your prayer now. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me now. Fill me, Jesus, with your blessed holy power. I'm yours, O Lord, to do with as you will. So fill me, Jesus, right now. Now by faith, receive it. Amen.